My text breaks away from the Gospel of Luke this morning and instead focuses upon the last words in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I will be with you always to the close of the age." I call this the command that has not been canceled. Jesus never canceled the command to go ye. The apostles certainly never canceled the command. The Holy Spirit never canceled the command. And it's from the commander-in-chief, from Jesus himself, go ye. And whenever he gives an order, I find it's critical that we as his followers give that order the utmost respect and obedience. Normally, on a winter mission Sunday, which this is, or on a summer mission Sunday in June, which we always have at least two Sundays a year exclusively dedicated to missions, we have a guest speaker. However, it's been about 5 years since I, as pastor, have made a comprehensive missions report to the congregation. And I want to take the opportunity to do that this morning, to let my message to you be a report. In the church newspaper, which you received a week or so ago, I noted the beginnings of our missionary emphasis at the church, and it's not my purpose now to recap that story. It can be read if you didn't get a copy. They're available at the back. But in those early beginning days, the Lord made it very real to my heart that I, as a pastor, was committing a sin of omission by not emphasizing missions, by not giving to missions personally, and that that sin of omission needed to be corrected. Over the years, we have worked carefully with a board and now with the missions committee as we have seen step by step the Lord bring increase in missionary giving, which has in turn allowed us to add to the missionary roster and bring us to the present position of supporting 58 missionaries and 12 different projects or ministries. We do not support more than a handful of these in toto. We cooperate with other churches in making up the support team. But we do have a rather significant-sized missionary family. I'd like for you to reach inside of your bulletin this morning and take this green sheet, Winter Mission Sunday, because for a few moments I want to talk to you about the greatest people that I know, the people that are on this roster, and give you a moment-by-moment bird's-eye view of what your missionary giving is doing. Let's walk for a moment through the lives of our missionary family. Dan and Jeannie Anglin are currently home on furlough. Dan directs the Far East Bible Schools for the Assemblies of God. His responsibility is the oversight of 50 Bible schools in the Far East that are preparing Asian young men and women for ministry. You'll notice that we have their children's names there. For all the missionaries that are listed that have children still living in their household, that haven't gone yet to college or become married, we have listed the children's name as well. Greg and Beth Ostring are getting ready to go to El Salvador, where they are going to be working with Latin America Child Care in feeding programs and in relief programs. Norm and Betty Backman are grandparents that could have retired and settled down into the easy life in their home in Santa Ana. They're out in Sierra Leone, West Africa, in a town of Safadu, where they have been establishing strong churches, a youth center that this year has reached 1,000 in attendance, the creation of a youth center in another town down the way. One of their associates, who has been ministering with them for 7 years, who himself is a Sierra Leone man, was martyred by his Muslim family earlier this year. So they've known that sorrow in their life. Norm is struggling with skin cancer to boot, but they have not left their place of responsibility. And Norm and Betty, when you listen to this tape, I want to tell you on behalf of all the people that are here that we're standing with you and praying for you. Dale and Wanda Barber are working to establish a Chinese church in Los Angeles that is coming along real well. Their daughter Gail is an alumnus from this church that today is in Bangkok, Thailand for her first full term as a missionary, working as librarian and teacher at the Bangkok Theological Institute. Harry and Martha Bartell are working among Hispanic peoples, migrant workers in Southern California. working in towns with strong Hispanic populations to establish the church and to see the work of evangelism done. Dan and Anita Bogdan, with their daughter Michelle, leaving Mike behind here at SCC, have just returned to Singapore for evangelism. Jerry and Vicki Brown are in Ecuador, Quito, where just this past year they had a citywide crusade with a great gospel tent meeting that made a deep impact upon that city. Jerry was a former student of mine and is discipling ministers in knowing how to minister God's word to their people. John and Lois Bueno serve in San Salvador, El Salvador, but really all across the Latin American world. God has helped them to raise up a church in this generation in San Salvador that has grown from 100 to 20,000 people, a school system that begins with K and continues with 2,000 students through the second year of college, a feeding program and a nutrition program, a vital work in Latin America. Wayne and Judy Cagle have just returned to Jakarta, Indonesia, this great, largest Muslim country in the world, a city of 10 million where they are at work directing the Bible school, training workers, Indonesian workers, for the harvest. Bob and Marge Carlson are directing college extension theological education with International Correspondence Institute in Europe. Students that can't get to a school are training at home. Larry and Dorothy Cedarbloom have just returned home from Panama, where this term they saw a strong Bible school physically constructed to be able to accommodate the tremendous numbers of Panamanian young people that are preparing for ministry. Jenny Cirillo, one of our alums, is getting ready now to go to Hong Kong, where she will assist Tom Muzio in a language evangelism outreach, which uses the English language as a vehicle for evangelism. Chinese people wanting to learn English sign up for the course. The Bible is used as a text. This is a program very well developed, very sophisticatedly developed. And then in informal conversations, witnessing is underway. Doug and Ruth Clark are serving in Nicosia, Cyprus, overseeing 50 missionaries and lay workers in the Middle East for the Assemblies of God. When they were in Turkey, I had the chance of being in their home in Izmir, Turkey, a city of a million people, 5 born-again Christians in the whole city. There wasn't room for denominations when you've got 5 Christians out of a million. And they have been under the cover of being language teachers, which they were doing in the university, but they were trying to help the Church of Jesus Christ get underway in Turkey. God has now moved them to Cyprus, where they are directing the work of missions in the Muslim world, from the Black Sea to the Red Sea, from Oman to Malaga, to the Turks, the Berbers, the Arabs, the Iranians, to dozens of ethnic subgroups, 5 major languages, and the whole world of Islam. Andy and Judy Cunningham are young missionaries in Togo, West Africa, establishing a church in southern Togo. Jerry and Evelyn Elder are part of our congregation. Jerry is the director of the Division of Wycliffe for regional offices. Their goal in this decade is to recruit more than 3,000 translators and workers. Their goal is to enter 800 more language groups, to complete all translation work in the Americas. Wherever there is a group unreached in the Americas, by the time this decade is closed, all translation work would have been completed. Their goal is to complete in this decade 500 additional translations. Last year, the Lord raised up more than 300 new workers in Wycliffe alone in the U.S. When Jerry and Evelyn began their work with Wycliffe in Peru in 1953, at that time, the Bible was being translated by Wycliffe translators into 35 languages of the world. Today, this year, Wycliffe entered its 1,000th language. In the last 31 years, from 35 languages to 1,000 languages. Friends, many people are not aware of this, but this century is the greatest century in the history of the church for mission. It is far surpasses even what was in the apostolic days. The extent of the gospel is going to all the nations. I hold in my hand a treasured thing that I have showed you before, the 200th translation in complete in toto of the New Testament done by Wycliffe translators, a language in northern Ghana. It was given to me by the Wycliffe people in this church, completed last year. Paul and Lyndon Finkenbinder are here in this service. Their ministry is all of Latin America. 1,000 times a day, their voice is heard on radio. 100 times a day, their voice and picture is seen on telecasts. Thousands and thousands of times a day, their newspaper columns are read. There are some very special guests that they may not even be aware are in this service, but Aurelio and Yvonne Arache are here. I'd like Aurelio and Yvonne to stand. They were led to give up his business and go into the ministry 10 years ago under the influence of Paul and Linda. Today they are pastoring in Mexicali, six churches with over 1,000 people in their ministry that God has given to them. Direct connection with the ministry of Paul and Linda. Thank you so much for allowing me to introduce you. Ed and Faith Ferguson are reaching out with International Correspondence Institute in the United States with evangelism, Christian life, Christian service, and college-level extension courses. George and Esther Flattery, whom we support, are directing the global ministry of International Correspondence Institute. Jim and Cora Frederick are in our church. We know Cora because of her Mother's Day ministry to us. Cora, because of MS, is now confined to a wheelchair. Jim is the director of the Division of Data Processing of Wycliffe, a very necessary and vital support ministry for the entire work of Wycliffe. Dean and Jean Gilbert and our church have just returned from Papua New Guinea for a two-month leave where they are working in teaching the children of Wycliffe missionaries. Jim and Carla Gattell, alumni out of our church, Jim's mother is in this service, has just gone to southern Thailand, a 99% Buddhist country, where they are now seeking to help and establish the church. George and Sidonia Vosdick were in our church the last 2 years. They were students at Southern California College. They've gone back to their homeland of Yugoslavia to establish the first media ministry in Yugoslavia. And Sonia is establishing the first music ministry in the Pentecostal or any church, really, any evangelical church in Yugoslavia. Dana Heinrichs, one of our alums, is now just gone recently to Belgium, where she is working with International Correspondence Institute as a lay ministry and a secretary. Ron and Carolyn Hittenberger with their girls have just returned from Haiti and the Caribbean, where they have served the past 17 years. And if you want to see a work for God that has been done in this world, sometime get to Port-au-Prince and see the scores of churches that have been established and the hundreds of ministers that have been trained and the relief effort that has gone underway because these people have had the call of God on their life. Jean and Sue Hudlow, another of our church alums, is teaching in a theological school, a Bible school in Sonora, Mexico. Don and Betty Jenkins are in Sololá, Guatemala, directing a Bible school of over 100 enrollment. Paul and Jean Clark in the Philippines, veteran missionaries. One of their recent letters told me that 3.5 years ago they started a church, and now that church is over 2,000 people with 35 Bible studies throughout the community it is located in. Margaret Klassen, who has given all of her life as a single adult to serving the Lord in missions, heads the Beseda Bible Institute in Durango, Mexico, with 170 students. Berant and Margaret Knudsen have recently entered the mission field of Malaysia. Peter and Vlasta Kuzmich are also Yugoslavs. Peter came to SEC years ago when I was first beginning my ministry here. Peter would come and be a part of the church. And now for these years, Peter has headed up the work of Biblical Theological Institute in Zagreb and Osijek. And he is involved in pastoring. He's involved in training the next generation of leadership in all of Eastern Europe. His ministry not only takes him to Yugoslavia, but Bulgaria, Romania, Hungary, the Eastern Bloc countries. A man who is revered, even at his youth, is revered and respected among the Eastern European community of Christians. He recently, for the first time, was on television, Yugoslav national television, the first time an evangelical voice has been invited to give a testimony. Dick and Sue Mortimer are here in our church, and Dick directs the accounting and finances for Wycliffe. For years, he was the only certified public accountant in Wycliffe. Their daughter, Cindy Mortimer, is today living in a tent in Honduras, ministering to Nicaraguan refugees with World Relief Agency. She is a nurse. Tom and Beth Muzio are in Hong Kong, where Tom heads up the greatest ministry to the greatest mission field in the world, the continent of China, 1 billion people. His ministry, Operation Sunrise, has received more mail from China than anybody in the world. He has received over 2 million letters out of China as a result of direct advertising on Chinese network television for English language courses. And that response is then followed up by gospel witnesses. Tom has just returned from being a month in China. Dave and Linda Neighbor are in the southern part of Yugoslavia doing what everybody told them it was impossible to do. They went in as students. They have now been in 4 different universities in order to keep their visa active. You don't get in those countries by being a missionary. So he just keeps going to another university and taking another graduate program. He is reaching the Albanian community that has fled Albania into Yugoslavia. There are 2 million Albanians that have come across the border into Yugoslavia. 3 million Albanians remaining in Albania. They have begun taping gospel radio broadcasts to the Albanians in Yugoslavia and Albania. They have purchased a Muslim mosque and established the first Christian Albanian church. Incredible ministry. Young man on fire for God. We have David and Alice Nguyen, veteran Chinese ministers in Taiwan at the Bible school. Larry and Mary Pate with Overseas Crusades, helping churches develop themselves missionary programs that are in third world countries. Our own Mike and Eileen Peavyhouse working with InterVarsity here in Orange County. Cody and Sharon Pelham with their three children being the dean of the Continental Bible College, which trains students from all over Europe and the Middle East for the ministry. Roger and Nadine Perkins, who I had the joy of being in their home in Shizuoka Ken in Japan a couple of years ago, seeing them get a beachhead for the gospel in that difficult-to-reach area of the world. In the first service, I introduced Akiko Yamaguchi, who I believe I've introduced before, but Akiko now sings in the choir, and she's going to Southern California College. Why is she here? Because when I was in Japan, she was my translator in one of the services, and I sensed something about Akiko, and I said, "What do you want to do with your life?" And she said, "I want to somehow give my life to the Lord and be involved in helping the church develop a music ministry." And I said, "You should come, if you can, to the United States and study. We've got a good program at Southern California College." She saved up her money. I would embarrass her if I told you how much she had saved up in her secular employment, but she saved it up to pay her own way. And she came, and she's singing now in our choir, getting ready to go back and start a music ministry in Japan. She's the person who Roger and Nadine have helped to disciple. Bill and Marcia Pett are with their three children. I'm working among the Arawak people in Suriname, Central America. David and Wardella Plymeyer in the Bible school in Taiwan. Ari Poldervaart, one of our own young men, who's now getting middle-aged, is out living with the Paiute Indians, translating the Word of God. Sent me this copy recently of the portion of the Old Testament on Elijah and Elisha, which they have put into comic book fashion because they found the Paiute Indians will read that more readily. Jim and Robbie Robinson out in Malawi, directing an outreach in this East African Republic of 6 million. Leonard and Frankie Sampier, grandparents out working among the American Indians. The Sandstroms working in Eastern Europe, establishing a strong outreach ministry to train leaders to Eastern Europe and being an encouragement to Eastern European churches. Ron and Wanda Summers, whom many of us know because they were a part of our church fellowship. Where their little children, Amy and John, are in Kampala, Uganda, a city of 500,000, filled with danger. One of the most difficult places in the world to live. Rwanda, in one of his letters, reported that at night they could hear the gunfire going off as people were being executed in other parts of town, and how the Lord had to help them to deal with the fear. In August, they had their first church service of the church they're establishing in Kampala, and they had 40 people present, 40 adults, for that first service. John and Edith Stets, veteran missionaries assisting in Yugoslavia. Wayne and Sylvia Turner at Kinshasa, Zaire, establishing the Bible school, buying gasoline for $10 a gallon. Wayne and Muriel Turner, their folks, veteran missionaries in Nakuru, Kenya. 33 years as missionaries in Africa. This term of service, their work has grown from 53 to 90 churches. Dave and Fran Wakefield, Wycliffe missionaries, boating among the Miniafia people in New Guinea, bringing the Bible to them and giving them the church. John and Betty Weidman, working in directing literature outreach for all West Africa. Bernice Wheeler at the Lillian Thrasher Orphanage in Assuet, Egypt, which in the early days, I see Brother and Sister Crouch here, were working in that ministry and helped establish a Christian mission, the Assemblies of God mission in Egypt. And there is Bernice Wheeler working with these 800-plus orphans in the Assuet Orphanage of Egypt. And then beyond that, there's Dr. and Mrs. Paul Williams, who are directing healthcare ministries. He's a medical doctor. Mike Wilson, from our own church, Dr. Wilson's son, who is now in China, and he is working with a program of teaching English to university students, and in informal settings has an opportunity to be a witness. Dorcas Winfrey, directing the Children's Education Department for Wycliffe, or assisting in directing it, filling teaching jobs for children's teachers all over the Wycliffe organization. Floyd and Millie Woodworth. Floyd prayed this morning, working in Latin America with Operation PACE, which is a program of applied Christian education, helping to train and encourage Christian leaders. Floyd this year has ministered to pastors in Nicaragua, in Guatemala, in Honduras, in El Salvador, a tremendous ongoing ministry. And Phil and Sandy Young with us in this service, who are with Wycliffe and just a year ago came home from Indonesia and are now working with the stateside office. In addition to this, we have aged ministers' assistants. We help Colonia Viguera Orphanage in Baja, Mexico, that was founded by Charlotte Perot. Haven of Rest with our own Paul Evans. And the Hmong Outreach with Linda Gross. The mission field moved to us right here in Santa Ana and Garden Grove. 6,000 people from the hillsides of Laos came over here. I have personally met the pastor of the largest Hmong work in this area. He was in his home a week or so ago. He has 150 people. There are 6,000 Hmong people, and we were asking him, is another ministry needed? We don't want to compete. If we can help you by just throwing in our lot with you, we'll back you. And he said, by all means, we need everybody we can. We said, we'll help you, and we'll still go ahead with the Hmong ministry. One of the Hmong ladies in the church, Pang Ku, came up to me after the first service and said, Pastor, as a thanks for the support of the Hmong ministry, I want to give you this. And it's not just a gift for me. I think it's a gift for the whole church because it's you that have made this ministry possible. We're reaching over 100 Hmong children and an increasing number of adults in the Hmong community. This, for those of you that aren't used to people wearing robes, is a surplus. She needle-stitched by hand this whole beautiful surplus. I got so excited I almost went home and got my robe that I only wear on special occasions like weddings and preached in a robe this morning. I'll finish this sermon in the surplus. We support the work of Ken and Esther Weigel that they established in Bangalore, India with the International Correspondence Institute. Life for the Lost, literature outreach. We support our own church outreaches through the Great Commission trips, through love lifts and relief goods, through tape and video ministries, through video centers. We support our college because we believe that that's the future of missions and that's the future of the church. We can't be so nearsighted that we don't realize that the next generation has to be trained and equipped for the ministry, lay and missionary roles and pastoral roles. We support them. We support our own district council with its beginning of new churches. We support summer missionary interns, Teen Challenge in Orange County, Women's Penny Fund, and the list is on and on. Of the 58 missionaries that we are supporting, they are working in 28 countries. Beyond the 28 countries, some of them are regional ministers, minister to a whole region of the world. There are 5 regions of the world represented, 4 ethnic areas of the United States. If we were to add all the married spouses, all the children that are still at home, we'd have a missionary community on that 58-member roster of 160 people that we're standing behind. The great thing is that 14 of these 58 are alumni of Newport Mesa Christian Center. 14 of the 58. Actually, there are 19, but we don't count them twice if they're in spouses. We just are counting the 58 as one, even if there are two. Does that make sense? 14 of the 58. I personally have made a pledge to myself and to the Lord that this church would have this response. Whenever a young person comes to us that is trained and is ready to go to the mission field, this church will say, we'll stand behind you. And when we say that, we mean more than we'll stand behind you in prayer. It means we're going to stand behind you and support you. I don't ever want to see this church ever have a young person go out to the mission field that we say, sorry, we can't help. That will never happen as God gives me breath. If we have to cut things in the church to do it, we will. Because it is critical that we not simply send our dollar, but that we send our own body as well. Another 15 of these 58 are Newport Mesa Christian Center families that fellowship and worship with us when they are home on furlough. Our heaviest areas of involvement in missions are to really establish the work of the Lord in church planting. We feel that the church must be brought into existence overseas and there are people involved in church planting all the way from the seed stage through the harvest stage. We're involved in backing missionaries that are involved in Bible school and extension education, in translation, in evangelism, in leadership equipping, in literature distribution, and in relief. We do not, as a church, place a great deal of financial emphasis upon raising money for famine relief or orphans because we believe those are such attractive ministries to support that, by and large, the general public will support them. So it's been our special burden to back those ministries that the general public, even the unsaved world, don't have a heart for. And that is seeing that the body of Jesus Christ gets planted in another area in the world. We are for those ministries which can bring into being the church of Jesus Christ. The greatest need in the world is the bread of life. This year, this church, and this figure astounded me, because we have so many different categories where missionary giving goes. We tithe, for example, our general fund. When you write tithe on an offering envelope, the first thing we do after the offering is counted, take the total of that tithe and write a check for 10%. Because if people ought to tithe, we felt the church ought to tithe. So we simply flat out tithe all of our income to missions. We get our income through missions faith promises, through writing on that offering envelope, missions. Some designate missions giving. There are some who have a burden for Paul Finkenbinder's ministry, and the Lord will lay it upon their heart. Let's give Paul $50 this month. We don't take any of that out. We don't say, well, we're supporting Paul $300 a month, and somebody gave $50, so we'll just give him $250 this month. We'll give that $50 plus the $300. We're committed to passing on everything that's given. And we as well just take money out of the general fund, and we don't have it from the other funds to take it from. We'll say, let's take it out of general fund, because that needs to be done. Harry Dalby brought in the report to me late this week and said, here is where we are heading this year, 1984. This church, this year, for missions, in all of its categories and ministries, will commit over $320,000 to missions. That figure stunned me. And what's so exciting about it is when we went into the building program 4 years ago, we said, we, with God's help, will not cut back on missions. We will not make the fatal mistake that churches make of getting in a building program and then cutting off the pipeline to missions. God, help us to double what we're doing. And I want to tell you, friends, and report, God has helped us in 3 years to double our missions commitment. Churches that are not missionary-minded are dead in the water. God has absolutely no use for them at all. No one is underwriting this amount. There are no large givers to missions in this church. There is a participation of the many, and our goal is the all. Every teenager and every child in this church I'd like to see be a mission supporter. If it's a nickel a week, we all need to get online. And we're not stopping at $320,000 because we have the need for these video centers. Because we have the need to do something with the Hmong ministry. All of a sudden it's growing up on us, and now we found it. It so happened that now we need to set Linda aside and say, go do it full time. You can't work as a registered nurse. Go to school and do the Hmong ministry too. We have said there are additional support needs within our own church family. And Tom Muzio keeps saying to me, George, what are you going to do about China? So we come to support for missions. How do we do it? We simply ask people to establish little goals, which we call a faith promise commitment. And what these simply are is a goal for giving. I know when I make my faith promise commitment, I have a two-step process. I say, what can I give that I know I can squeeze into the budget? And then I do a second thing. I add on to that amount what I believe the Holy Spirit gives me faith for. I just add that to the number that I couldn't provide. Lord, there's no way I could give that, but I believe you're saying that to me. Help me to add that and trust you for it. I was standing right here 6 months ago in our summer faith promises, and I knew what I was going to give. I was just going to keep it at a maintenance level, and I felt the Holy Spirit say to me to give me a figure that almost doubled it. I said, Lord, I can't do that. There's just no way. I said, have faith. It's been the fun of my life in the last 6 months to see how the Lord has just unbelievably allowed that money to come in to get channeled, because there's a limit to what I could do. But then my faith with Christ goes to work and brings the increase. I've looked all through the New Testament, and I find that the command, go ye, has never been canceled. But I also find that people cannot go unless they are sent. And that's the function of we, the Church of Jesus Christ, to send those who will go. And to pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers out into the harvest. Because the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. Thursday night, I had one of the delights of a lifetime. Dan and Jeannie Anglin, on the spur of the moment, had a house guest and invited us over to their home for dinner that evening, and we got there. Their house guest is named Myochit. That's his name, first, middle, and last. One name. He's from Burma. Myochit is the pastor of the Assembly of God Church in Rangoon, Burma. In Burma today, it is impossible to get missionaries into the country. The missionaries were all kicked out by the government in 1966. There has not been a missionary in Burma since 1966. But the philosophy of our missionary program has been to get the missionary in long enough to get the Church of Jesus Christ planted. Then if the situation changes, the missionary gets out, but the church doesn't. The church goes on self-propagating, self-supporting, self-governing. Myo Chit told me. And Burma's been a very difficult country. It was a country that Adoniram Judson went to 200 years ago. He spent a lifetime in Rangoon, Burma, and its environs. And in that lifetime of translating the Bible into Burmese, there were six people that came to the Lord in that lifetime of ministry. Six people. Some ministries are in seed stage. Myo Chit's great-great-great-grandfather was Adoniram Judson's second convert. He said to me, I am a fifth-generation Christian. I said, tell me about your church and what's happened. He said, when the missionaries had to leave in 1966, we had in the church that I came to pastor in Rangoon, we had 15 people. Today, we have 3,000. We have churches started all over Rangoon. He was so busy showing me his pictures of the preaching centers they were involved in. A year ago, they had the Jubilee of the Assemblies of God presence in Burma, and they asked everybody in the country to come that was a Christian and had been one and part of an Assemblies of God church. Some walked for 2 weeks to get there. They had it in North Burma. There were 50,000 people that showed up and camped for 10 days in a village area that had been provided by the government. It was an incredible meeting. No Westerners could get there. It was all Burmese. And he said, we're involved in missions. He said, if you can walk for mile after mile after mile today in North Burma, and every village you come to, without exception, will be 100% Christian and Assemblies of God. I thought, wow, that would be unusual. He said, what's exciting now is these churches in North Burma are becoming missionary churches because they realize that on their border is Tibet, and the Tibetan refugees have spilled across the border into North Burma. So they are now winning Tibetans to Christ. And since my uncle and father were missionaries to Tibet, that made my heart glad. Who would have guessed that God would have won it through Northern Burmese Christians, first generation? The work of missions is going on. And I think somehow that we lack a dynamic in our spiritual life if we're not on the line for missions. On the line in praying, on the line in giving, and on the line in being willing to go if Christ tells us to go. In your bulletin today, there's a little green card. I'd like for you to take it out and ask the ushers to come. For a moment, if you didn't get one of these or didn't get a bulletin, if you just raise your hand, because we're going to close the service with this. This is a faith promise. It's called a faith because it's really made in faith, and it's a promise because it's not a pledge. We don't want you to sign these because there is no follow-up on these. This is a target you set as you pray to the Lord about what He would have you do for missions. I believe this missionary roster and these people whose names and families I mentioned today are worthy of our prayer support and worthy of our financial support. And so we have provided a vehicle for that to happen. We'd like for you to evaluate your own personal commitment to missions. If you've not made a commitment to missions at Newport Mesa Christian Center before, use the side of the card that says first time. And if you have already made a commitment and this is simply marks a continuation or an increase of that commitment, use the side that says renewal. The dates should be December through May. There's a typographical error that should read May rather than March. And it simply allows you to check. I am making a brand new commitment or a renewal of commitment to missions so that our church can help support 58 missionaries and 12 missions ministries. I am stepping out with faith and commitment to take part in fulfilling the Great Commission. My faith promise is, and you can write in a monthly amount, or if you'd rather write in a weekly amount, write in one or the other, you don't need to write in both. My faith promise is blank per month or blank per week as the Lord enables me. Prior to your filling that out, could you pray with me? This is the time, Lord, when we need the Holy Spirit. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would become present to us. Help us, Lord, not to worry about what someone else is going to do, but help us instead to find what we're to do. Save us, Lord, from the temptation of thinking we have too little, and that it therefore isn't worthy. For Lord, you judge not by amount, but by proportion. And the widow who gave her mite is rewarded by you because she gave her all. We thank you for this time, semi-annual time, when we can evaluate our commitment to missions, because it helps us evaluate our commitment to life. It helps us monitor our trend toward materialism, to collecting useless goods that rust or that may be robbed. It helps us to evaluate the things that are eternal. Thank you for that privilege, Lord, of giving us a moment to reckon with our stewardship. And help our response today to be exactly what the Holy Spirit would want us to make. And may it honor you, so that together as a church we may stand with all of these whom you have called to your labor in the mission fields of the world. We ask this in the Lord's name. Amen.